You know, we never need to stop praising God for all the children, right? It's beautiful to watch this happen and watch people keep having them and watch people keep bringing them and seeing them grow up and give their heart to the Lord and seeing them participate. And it's a beautiful thing. How many people have your Bible this morning? If you have your Bible, please stand up and raise it above your head and bear witness of His Word this morning. That's a beautiful thing. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. When you find your place, say, I have it. Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 a letter to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was near and dear to his heart. And when we see the love that he wrote this with and we see what he was really wanting to happen, it's amazing because you look at Paul's life, and if there's ever a person in the Bible that you look at and you think, hey, this guy really went through some bad stuff. He was beaten up. He was mocked. He was stoned. He was persecuted. He was kicked out of town. He even had the other people that were supposed to be the religious people against him. Like, but with all this, Paul kept this mindset, and he was positive, wasn't he? You don't see Paul getting negative. You see him encouraging others. He's always talking about the Lord, but he's always telling them, hey, listen, this is the way you need to think about this. And he made these comments near the end of his ministry that said, hey, listen, hey, I fought a good fight and I finished the course. You know, I'm running this race with patience, knowing that whatever it brings. He had this mindset. And I began to think, you know, Paul is basically giving us a picture of what it feels like to live a dream. He's living a dream. Say it with me. What's he doing? Living a dream. And you think, what do you mean living a dream? Well, he's realizing, he's experiencing what he actually was wanting to experience. He saw this church at Ephesus. He saw all these lives change and these people come to salvation knowledge. And he saw people that were distraught begin to be happy. Even though their problems didn't go away, they still had a peace of mind. He began to see people accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to see people come to God. And he began to see people praise the Lord. He was living a dream. Read with me as I read you this letter that he wrote to them. And you'll notice that the beginning of this letter is a prayer. Or at the beginning where we're going to read is a prayer. We're going to start at verse 14. You say, why is that important? Because what is it that we pray for? Somebody tell me what you prayed for today. You pray for what you what?
Want.
Tell me again.
Want.
You see, it's simple. I want you to think about it the right way. You pray for what you
want.
And then when you get what you want, then you're supposed to what?
Praise
the Lord. Paul lived in a state of praise because he continually got what he wanted. You mean he wanted something for all these other people? Yeah, he did. He was unselfishly wanting something. Listen to what he wanted and listen to what he prayed for them. Beginning in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. He's talking about, I'm praying that you would actually know how much God loves you and know the depth and height of his power, that you would be filled with this and filled with the fullness of God and filled with his knowledge. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, these last two verses, listen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He was actually saying in these last two verses, even though this is what I'm asking, I keep seeing you do more. And I'm living a dream. And so I take that as our theme for the message today and our anniversary. Because if I were to give you my testimony today in four words, it would be, I'm living a dream. But more than that, if I were to give you the testimony of the church in these same words, it would be to remind you that we're living a dream. Amen. We each leave here with different circumstances in life and different situations and different battles, different things of disappointment in this life, but you realize that today is a day we come to praise God because we actually are living a dream. Amen. The things that we desired, that were unselfish things, God is actually letting us take part in. Amen. You know, the greatest statement of contentment that we can make is, I'm living a dream. If you were to be able to go out and make that statement to somebody, they would be willing to listen because everybody wants to what? We even compel people to come. Hey, it's the American dream. This is what it means. And so we paint that picture. But if you go out of here talking about the disappointment, the expectations that weren't met, the discouragement in life and what isn't going right, complaining, who wants any of that? Who wants any of that? Are those things real? Do they happen? Absolutely. Are we pretending they don't happen? No, not at all. But it's life. And life has disappointments. And Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, you will have tribulations, but I have overcome this world. And so with that being said, I want to tell you the inspiration for the message today, thinking about this for weeks, and I began to think about this week different than any other time we've celebrated an anniversary. You know, there became this sense of just praise that came over me, thinking about what he's done that I didn't deserve to see him do. And at the same time, you realize that as we gather here this Lord's Day, it's a weekend in which our nation is observing a holiday commemorating the birthday of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. So with that being said, well, there's a significance because Reverend King gave a speech 57 years ago, and what a speech. It was affectionately known as the I Have a Dream speech. So I want to tie this in together so that you can understand today. It was a speech calling for the end of social injustice and equality for all people, no matter their race. And in these last 57 years, we can take this speech point by point and recognize so many of these issues that were mentioned in this speech not actually have been realized, but have been over the top realized. And then at this, you have an opportunity to either take the things in this speech that you think need to be better and complain about it, or you can celebrate all the things that have happened. Amen. Maybe that's just my opinion. I don't know. But I think at some point, we need to celebrate what God has done. You see, it wasn't the power of Dr. King that made this happen. If his dream wouldn't have been in part God's dream, then none of it could have happened. So what I'm trying to tell you today is that this weekend also happens to be the weekend that we celebrate the anniversary of our church. A small group of people came together with the intentions of starting a church body where they could come together and freely worship God in a place where their children and grandchildren could come and hear the truth of God's word and grow in knowledge of God. That was a great desire. That was a dream. It was a place where the Holy Spirit could move in such a way that people would come and see their need to present themselves to God and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was a place where those believers could assemble as different parts of the body, which were different people, who all came together to make up the body of Christ and be unified in the Spirit to act together as the body of Christ. It was a place where we could see God work in mighty ways and see souls saved and lives changed, individuals and families strengthened, and a community impacted by a church that was the light. But in saying all this, understand that it wasn't us. It was a place that we had a strong desire, that a place that God could reveal himself to us through his word, through prayer, through fellowship. Right. and with other believers through our fellowship with them, through our praise to God, a place where we could realize the depth of the love that God has for us and the love that He's continually displaying. A place where the beliefs of the church and the direction of the church was not determined by certain power groups within the church or by those that were in the families who had been here the longest time or by a denomination that dictated what you believed and then were able to go and change what they believed so that they were the ones that said, this is what we believe now. It was free from all of those things. We desired a place where the body would be led by the Holy Spirit and directed by the truth of God's Word. Amen. To believe and be directed by the agreement the Holy Spirit gives the body of believers who are seeking to obey God and to carry out His will, not our own. Our purpose since the church began to meet, since the church began to worship, has clearly been stated so that the church doesn't forget that the purpose of this church is what, church?
Glorify God.
It's to glorify God. It's something we continually remind ourselves because understand when a bunch of people get together and they start seeing things happen, then they'll begin to take credit for it. They'll begin to glorify themselves. They'll begin to build up their own name. And we're not here to build our own name. We celebrate today. We give glory to God today because He's let us experience some of these things that we dream to have. Again, the definition of dream is to strongly desire something. When we say dream, it's not talking about the other definition, something that happens when we sleep. Maybe some of those dreams do come true. But He's talking about a strong desire that we have. And we can praise God that we're actually living a dream. There are things that we have done and there are things that we could have done better. But anything that we have done the right way is not a testament to us, it's a testament to God leading us in that way. And in the time of our church life right now, there are things that we're doing and there are things that we need to be doing better. But I stand here today to give praise to God and glorify God because it's in Him that anything has been done and everything that has been done. Anything that we would see as good has been done by God. And sure, God brought different people together into one body and used different people in different ways, but it's not us that's done anything. It's God that's allowed us to be part of what He's wanted to do. I've said it this way many times, and I'll say it again today because I can't think of a better way to state it clearly that we can remember. What's happened here is that God has given us a good seat to watch Him work. Amen. You ever been in that seat to where you know something's going on over there, but you couldn't really get to see it? What God's done is given us a good seat right up front to watch Him work. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. He wrote in verse 13. Listen to this verse. For it is God. It is who?
God.
It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that works in you. He was speaking to the church. He was speaking to believers. So that believers don't begin to think that it's something that we have done. It's some of the talents that we applied. Oh, that church is blessed to have me, right? If we begin to think that way, we're in trouble. It is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, meaning that it will be His power to carry out His will. Now, I want you to take all this because with this mindset, I want to praise God in this service today. I want to talk about that word that we defined at the beginning of the message, the word dream. The dream is something that's greatly desired, and we talked about those things that we dreamed that we would have. As a church, we dreamed we would have these things, and He's given us more than we could have dreamed. And so when I go back to Ephesians 3 and I read that, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, And then I read, according to the power that worketh in it unto him, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. Then I understand that phrase, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us is letting us know that when we see these things happen that we've dreamed would happen, it's not because of our power, it's because of the power that worketh in us. This means that our dreams, those things that we greatly desire, are not realized by our power. They're realized by God's power. Amen. And so in saying that to you today, I want you to understand that when Paul says that God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, he's saying that we can have more than we dreamed. You've heard that phrase, right? Well, this is more than I ever dreamed of. This is better than I ever dreamed. We go someplace and we see it, and we think, well, that looks better than I ever thought it would look. That's better than I ever dreamed. This job that you're doing that you love, and you go to it and you say, hey, I love this job more than I ever dreamed I would love this job. And that was comical for some reason, right? We meet this person, fall in love with this person. We thought, man, this is better than I ever dreamed. I hear Angie saying it all the time. No, it's good. No, I'm just saying, we get it. We get in a relationship and we're talking about, hey, listen, I thought it would be good. This is better than I ever dreamed. Hey, you know, as I keep talking about these things, you do realize that there's a lot of things that we dream that are the cause of disappointment. You see, I stand before you in testimony today to tell you, my life changed. It changed. These years ago, as this church started. You see, before that, I dreamed. I strongly desired a lot of things. But the things that I strongly desired were things that I wanted. They didn't have a lot to do with you. You say, well, not me. I desire things for my family. Right. Don't forget that key word, your family. Oh, I love it. It's all for my kids. Right, your kids. It's still about you. It's your kids. No, it's about my kids. It's about your kids. We desire things for our own self-interest. And listen, before you start saying, well, yeah, I sure do. That's normal. It is normal. We're made that way. No one woke up this morning and said, hey, you know what? I sure hope I don't get what I want today. That was not a thought, right? We wake up this morning and all of our efforts, all of our action will be geared forth towards what we want to happen. True? Because we have a strong desire. We dream that this would happen or that would happen. And when we say strong desire, it is a dream. And in the same way that we reference the speech that celebrated, I have a dream speech, that was a strong desire. But when it's realized, and you start seeing things happen that were a strong desire, at some point, you need to praise God for what's happened. Amen. And we need to praise God for what's happened. You apply that to the church and you see these things and you realize, why aren't we more excited? And the reason that we aren't more excited is because the majority of our dreams have nothing to do with the things that are mentioned in here. We're spending the majority of our life, if you're like I was, chasing a dream and experiencing disappointment because I was using my own power to apprehend the dream. And then let's say that it happened the way I wanted it to happen. Anybody ever chased a dream, something you strongly desired, and then you got it? Anybody? Isn't that great? And then it just lasted a little while. And it was gone again. Or even if it wasn't gone, you got it and you lost interest. And all of a sudden, your mind was geared on something. And, you know, I've spent the last couple of weeks, I talked about spiritual ambition. I talked about the action put forth towards your belief, about what we really put our action forth towards. And it comes to, you know, ahead today as we talk about our strong desire. What do you really dream will happen? What do you dream of happening? What's your strong desire? I want you to wrap your mind around that, because God is telling us in His Word through Paul that it's the power that works in us that can let us be able to see these things. But the key is, it's not going to be for those selfish things that we want just for ourselves. That's going to be on our power. You say, well, then what does God want me to want? God doesn't want me to want things for myself. God doesn't want me to have a good time. I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy this life right now. He wants you to be able to experience. And I told you last week, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to eat, to drink, to be merry, to be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor. He wants you to enjoy company. He doesn't want you to walk around all sullen and sad and thinking to yourself, hey, this is a terrible life. No. He wants you to be able to enjoy this life. Now, you see, all these dreams of what we want to happen, these dreams that are normal for us to have, whether it's a financial dream, whether it's a relationship dream, whether it's a material dream. And you know, as we begin to grow older, we begin to have this strong desire. This is what we want by this age. This is the kind of house we want to live in. This is the kind of car we want to live in. This kind of job, this kind of income, right? Somebody help me out, because these young people are listening and thinking, this old guy's talking up here, I'll tune him out. If this has happened to you, you need to let them know that it's not just me up here struggling. And how many of you have had all those dreams fulfilled and are just on top of the world because everything that you wanted to happen, happened? No. So, I think what happens is, you know, we get something fixed in our mind that we want, and then we impose our own will. We use our own power to attain those dreams, and if they happen to come to pass, we normally attribute that success to ourselves and our power. I studied hard, I worked hard, I did this, I went above, and so we take credit for it. But how many times do we live in disappointment, chasing our dreams, realizing that we don't have the power to control the outcome? And how many times have we chased a dream and had it come to pass only to see it last for a little while and then see the situation change and we were unhappy again? And how many times do we stop and think that our real worry comes from the fact that, get this, that even though we're putting a lot of effort and our own power into making something happen, truth be known, if we're just getting right with ourselves, we really know that we can't control anything. So what happens there? That means you're having a conversation with yourself where, hey, I'm going to do this, but I don't know that it's going to happen. That produces worry and fear. And so we bring it on ourselves, and you're saying, what are you telling us to do? Don't have any great desire, don't dream. Absolutely not. That's why I said, you know, God wants us to be spiritually ambitious. He wants us to put action behind our belief. So today I want you to see that God wants all of us to be able to say, I'm living a dream. He wants us to be able to see exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He doesn't want us to live a temporary dream that leads back to disappointment. He doesn't want us to continually live in disappointment while we're chasing a dream. He doesn't. Because if you are, your light isn't going to shine to anybody. You might say, how can we do this? Anybody interested in knowing that you can leave here and know that you have the answer of how to live a dream? Anybody? Here's your answer. Make God's dream your dream. Make God's dream your dream. You will have all the power going towards your dream if it's God's dream. You know, it's no mystery that He tells us to pray, thy will be done. He's continually wanting us to get our mind in line with His mind. What God greatly desires, when you say God's dream, you say, does God have a dream? Absolutely. God's dream, what He greatly desires. I've got a couple of things. Number one, He greatly desires that we see Him as the one and only true living God. You might think, how can I make my dream God's dream? I'll tell you in simple form today. Number one, God wants you to see Him as the one and only true living God. How many people can do that today? Right? So you're already at a good place. Now, it's easy to say, but doing it. Meaning that he's your one and only true living God. If you've got that covered, you're well on your way. You know, God says in Psalms 46:9, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. What God desires, the next thing is for us to have fellowship with him. Hey, get this. God created man to have fellowship with him, so you know he desired it, right? He put Adam and Eve in the garden. But get this. Then we're told by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, tell me again, give you what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Two times here, Jesus is saying, come to me. First stage, come to me. In any fellowship you have, in any relationship, the first thing you have to do is come into the relationship, right? Come to me and you will find what?
Yes.
Next thing, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That means come closer. Learn more. Anytime we're in a relationship where we continue to gain knowledge about somebody, the relationship deepens, we learn more. So the first thing, come to me and you shall find what?
Rest.
Second thing, learn of me and you shall find what?
Rest.
You know what he's talking about rest from? Rest from your problems? No, rest from chasing that dream. You see, we do it subconsciously. It's normal to know that we have these desires that might not have anything to do with God, but we don't have any rest in them. That's why you look at a world that seems to be so stressed out and worried, a world whose schedule and agenda is just always vexing them, where they can't find happiness in even the great things without wanting more. Why you're having people living in such discontent, in such a complaining world to where they can't realize what they have because of what they want. There's a sense of entitlement that says, hey, listen, but I deserve this and I deserve this and I want this and I'm not going to be happy until this happens. And understand, there's no praise in that. So if you choose to keep living a life like this, you're not going to find the peace and happiness that God wants. At some point in time, you need to be able to realize what God has done. That's where your praise is going to lie. And hey, a little tidbit from Thanksgiving. Our fellowship with God, our worship of God, is found in our praise to God. Remember that? So, what does God want? Fellowship with us. He wants us to know that he's the one and only true living God. Then he wants fellowship with us. What else does God desire? What is his dream for us? That we receive his act of love. God wants you to receive his act of love.
That's good.
I want to tell you something that will break your heart. You try to give your love to somebody and they don't receive it. That ever happened to somebody?
Yep.
Man, you talk about tearing your heart out. He told us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, before we did anything, God said, I loved you and I still love you.
Praise.
We know the passage in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. He spends all this time telling us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth. You see, when we believe, we're actually receiving the love. Should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? So he wants us to be able to receive his love. And then, what else does God desire? He wants us to love him back. Not just receive his love. And there's one thing in a relationship when you love somebody and they think, man, I know they love me. It's another thing when they receive your love back. Man, I saw that this week. You have people all the time telling you they love you, and then something happened, and all of a sudden you've got your church family calling and checking on you and being there and lifting you up and saying, I'm praying for you, and I can't tell you, man, just so many people just poured around me and Angie this week and just wanted to show love, and hey, how is it? Let's check on you. We're praying. We're this and that. Hey, listen, that's loving back.
Amen.
Can't put a price on that, right? God wants you to love him back. Love him back. Now, he tells us In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You see, what God desires, as we spoke last week, is for us to put action behind our love. You see, there's always got to be action to love back. He wants to put action behind you. So what is the action of love? The action of love is service. I tell all these couples that I'm counseling for marriage, do you love them? Yes. You show your love by serving them. You serve each other. You try to outserve each other because that's a testament to the love. That's the action behind love. It's the same action behind our love for God. You serve Him. What do you mean serve Him? I'm going to be a slave? No, you serve Him out of love. Hey, I want to please Him. I want to do something for Him. I want to glorify Him. I want to be able to bring somebody to Him. I want to be able to represent Him. I want to be able to speak for Him. I want to be able to sing for Him. I want to be able to give for Him. I want to be able to love for Him. I want to be able to do all these things. I want to serve Him. And here's the thing. You don't even have to know how to serve Him. All you have to know is, hey, He wants me to love somebody else. You see, we actually serve Him by loving others, and that's one of the things that God desires. So what does God dream? Well, He dreams it. He dreams of us knowing He's the one and only true living God. He dreams of us being able to know that He loves us and recognize it, to receive it. He dreams of us being able to love Him back. He dreams of us serving Him with the actions of love. And in that service, He dreams of us being able to carry out what He wants, which is what? To love each other. You see, Jesus told us in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But the second commandment is likened to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? It's not hard to find out what God really desires. You read His word, right? So what does He desire? He desires that we love each other, that we serve each other. You know, God desires, His dream is for us to treat Him like He's our Father. You know, there's a different thing that happens, and it happened to me when I became a father. You know, I want my children to look to me as their father, their protector, their provider, someone who's completely devoted to them. You think a father wants you to trust them? Do you think a father wants you to know that they'll protect you? Yeah. And so God gives us this scenario here where we're given this place of being a child of God. He wants you to know that He's your father. And He says in Romans 8, for you were not given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you were given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And He goes on to tell you in the next verse that by this same spirit we are known as children of God. If we have this spirit, children of God. Why is that important? Because it's in this relationship of child of God. And this is God's desire that you would reference Him as Father, that you would know Him as Father. Why? Because it's in that relationship that you're going to have your security in life. What do you mean? Let's just say, my child as a child has these doubts and fears and comes to me and says, hey, listen, I know that dinner was good today, but are we going to be able to eat tomorrow? I know that the house that we're staying in is nice and safe, but can we stay here tomorrow? And I calm their fears and I'm saying, hey, listen, I'm your father. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to feed you. You would expect a child to have those doubts and fears, wouldn't you? You would expect a child to have those kind of worries. But if my child continues to come to me and say, Father, are we going to eat today? Well, you know, I told you we were going to. Are we going to have a place today? I told you. I understand that you were worried and fearful, but if you come to me every day and live in that same doubt and fear, here's the truth. You don't trust me as your father. You don't believe in my provision. You don't believe in my love. And here I was, this person, for a large majority of my life, that lived in that worry and fear, because God's desire was for me to know him as my father. And even though I said, Father, I still lived in a worry and fear, wondering what was going to happen tomorrow, when he said, I've got your tomorrow. I'm your father. Amen. You see, what happened to me was I was chasing my own dream, and I didn't make God's dream my dream. If I could have made God the one and only true living God and not set all these things of the earth upon him, if I would have received his love and then given him love back by action and showing him, if I could have been unselfish enough not just to have things for myself but to show it to others, if I could have realized that he is Father God and that he is going to take care of me, but I have to make my plan his plan, then I wouldn't have experienced the disappointments. I could have had a little bit of living a dream. But I wasn't living a dream, I was chasing a dream. And that's the way I find a lot of people today. And that's the way I lived for years and years. And I'm not standing in front of you as a success story. I try to find my way every day. I stand before you as a lot of times a bad example. But I've been there. And it's relatable. You've been there too, hadn't you? You see, what God ultimately desires is that we come to him through Jesus Christ. Do you know that God loves us, wants fellowship with us, wants us to recognize that, wants us to be his children? And so God didn't just want that, desired it. God made a way. He sent himself. We call his son Jesus Christ. Born of a woman, but not born of a man. Born of a woman and born of God, Paul's saying he left heaven to come to this earth for a poor lost soul like me. And before I began to talk about me being a poor lost soul, it ain't like I realized I was a poor lost soul, okay? I was chasing a dream. I was thinking about how smart I was and what I've done. Can I get a witness? Let's don't act like we're just, oh, listen, I'm just the lowliest. That's just something we just realized lately, right? That wasn't the way I was walking around. You know, so I chase that dream, and I have those disappointments. And then at a young age, I find Jesus Christ, and I accept him as my Savior. You know, 11 years old. You know, this is 20 years ago. And then some. And then, get this. You think, well, man, you're great. You're great. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I did. And I learned about him. But I began to chase my dream again. And I learned all about his dream. I learned all about his dream. I can't say I didn't know it. But I learned all about his dream. But I removed myself where we talked about it. I began to make excuses at that age because I turned, 16, and I had a way to go and reasons to be gone and justifiable things. And so as I began not to hear his dream for me, then my dream took over. And I didn't need any help for my dream to take over because I already was geared toward it. And you say, well, then you came back to the Lord. Hey, listen, I still and you still struggle with staying with God's dream and not departing and going after your own, right? Let's get real about this, right? We do. What I'm here to tell you today is that I've shared with you the things that God greatly desires. This is what God dreams of. So if we make his dream our dream, then not only will we know that he will make all of our dreams come true, we can live a life knowing and saying that we're living a dream. You said you wanted to know how. You see, God's will is going to be done through him. I think back, and this is what hit me this week, and I'll share this with you in closing. You see, I began to think, we're coming in here as a small group of people on a day where we're celebrating an anniversary. And there's people probably in other states that don't know anything about this and they're not celebrating. Don't know anything about it. So What is it? Just our little deal that happens to us, just little people here that we're doing this? No. I want to show you something that's amazing. I began to praise God this year in a special way because I thought back. I thought about Abraham and the things that Abraham saw God do. Think about it. Things that would blow your mind. And then I guess the best example, the children of Israel, right? The children of Israel were in bondage. They were slaves to Egypt. 400 years. Don't you know at some point that granddad and grandmom pulled the little Hebrew children up and their sons and they said, one day, we dream of being freed from this place. It is our great desire that we're freed from this place. One day, we'll be free. We don't know how, but God's going to free us. One day. And don't you know, there's a day when a man named Moses showed up with a staff and he threw it down. And they said, hey, something's different. He said, I'm sent to get these Hebrew children and take them out. Listen, through all the plagues, they saw things that blew their mind above and beyond what they could ever ask or think. They thought it would be some kind of uprising. No. God showed up and then he said, listen, I'm putting all these plagues and then the last one, tell you what, you show them that you're on my dream, that you've made your dream my dream. Here's what you do. You take that lamb, because I'm going to give that lamb for you. They didn't tell him his name was Jesus yet. He was a forerunner. But you take that lamb and you mark his blood above your doorpost saying that you're agreeing to be a part of what God greatly desires, right? You mark it right there and the death angel is going to come through there and then they're going to be able to release you. And they did. They left. They realized their dream, right? They had a dream, and they realized their dream, and they celebrated for a while till they got to that big body of water, and they thought, how in the world? And guess what? If you read your Bible, the complaining started. They weren't praising anymore about being freed. The complaining started because they didn't have this. Hey, we're freed, and now look, right? God said, hey, exceedingly above all that you ask or think, I told you that my dream was to take you to the promised land. If you get your dream in line with God's dream, you'll see God do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. God said, hey, you sign up for my dream? Watch this. He parted the waters. He said, on your journey, if you counter these armies that you can't beat, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to fight for you. As a matter of fact, this one city, I want you just to march around it 7 times and blow your horn. Don't really have to get a sword out. The walls are going to fall down. I've got you. Why? Because you're making your dream my dream, and I'm going to carry out my dream. So I'm telling you, if you want to be able to live a dream, make your dream God's dream. And 12 years ago, none of us knew how to do it. And none of us have to know how to do it. You say, well, then what do? Day by day. Day by day, you give your day to God's purpose. If you don't do it day by day, you'll go back to chasing your own dream. It's in us. I will, you will. I'm telling you, if you want the peace that God wants to give you, then you'll have an intentional mindset that says, hey, listen, I keep being disappointed. I want this in my life, and we want this, and this is the next thing, and we ask for it. And why would God give those things to us if he sees us clearly wanting to impose everything that we want, but not wanting anything that he wants? What does he want? I shared it all with you. He wants you to make him the one and only true living God. He wants you to receive his love. He wants you to love him back. He wants you to be able to love others and serve him, put action behind your love. He wants all those things. He wants fellowship with you. I tell you, when you make God's dream your dream, you'll start living a dream. I think about those people that went through that and experienced all those things, those children of Israel, and this is what hit me like a ton of bricks this week. Get this. I thought, hey, Lord, as important as that story is in the Bible, right now, you're writing a story right here. It's what you greatly desire. Hey, when you see somewhere where you see lives changing and hundreds of souls saved and Marriage is strengthened. Listen, there's plenty that we could complain about that we're not doing right. I know that, right? But when you see these kind of things going on,
Amen.
Do you know that you're actually living God's dream?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You become a part of the story as if it was chapter this, verse this. You actually get to do it. Or we can go out and write our own story. How does that work?
Not too good.
Right? Does God want you just to sit back and say, no, listen, I'm going to sit here and just let everything happen? No. We've talked 2 weeks about it. He wants you to put action forth. But not in such a selfish way that you put him out of it. Verse 21 of Ephesians 3 was our text. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Do you realize we should be celebrating today because we are actually being able to live a dream? We're part of God's story. We're part of God's dream. He's allowed us to be part of his dream, and he will continue to do it as long as we make his dream our dream. So today, as I come to you, I ask you, first of all, have you initiated the relationship to God through Jesus Christ? You see, in God's dream, his intention, can I tell you a big point? He says, I not only want fellowship with you here, I want it for all of eternity. We're too busy dreaming about the temporary things. He says, I want something for you for all of eternity. Jesus said it this way, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, that's God talking about me and you. Can you believe that? My desire, my dream, Mike, is that you would be with me forever. And I'm thinking to myself, who am I? My dream was just to be able to get this kind of house. And then have to start repairing it in 20 years. You see, I've passed the 20 years. You get what I'm saying? Dream big. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop desiring. Because God's not going to stop fulfilling. I praise God, and if you've never come to God by accepting his way, which is Jesus Christ, let me know he loves you. He loves you. He gave his son Jesus Christ to die for you because, listen, we had to have someone as a sacrifice for our sin. I know the world's right in front of you. I know we have our careers and all these things that demand our attention. I'm not telling you to sit in a room and not do anything about it. But I'm giving you some advice here from God's Word. There's a time to praise God for letting him live in the dream that he has. And there's a time of initiation where we have to come to God, make our dream his dream. There's a time that we have to intentionally be in fellowship with him. We won't need any help to get out of his will. I never did. You never have. God loves you. He's given you an opportunity for these years. Church, we need to praise him today for letting us be part of his story, working with his power in us, right? Letting us be able to live a dream. You act like, preacher, that there's nothing that's ever happened wrong. You act like there's no problems, that you don't have anything that ever goes sideways. I used to recognize everything that didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And now I recognize it as temporary. It only lasts for a little bit. And I watch him do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Hey, I'm living a dream. I praise him today. I can't do nothing but praise him. If you're not living that dream, come to Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if you've done that, you have the right to live a dream. But make sure you're intentional to make his dream your dream. Quit chasing something that has nothing to do with him. You have a guaranteed success rate if your dream is his dream. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, and I thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to learn your word. I come to you celebrating today, praising you for who you are, glorifying and lifting up your name as the one and only true living God, recognizing, God, that in spite of who we are, you loved us. And Lord, I'm coming loving you back. I'm coming, God, knowing that you want fellowship with us, so we come to you to fellowship with you. I'm coming to you, Father, knowing that your dream for us, your desire is for us to be able to show our love back for you. Lord, to be able to love others the way that you love us. Lord, to be able to know that it's not just a relationship that you want here, but your dream is for us to be able to be with you in eternity, forever. And I praise you for that, God. So I come to you today, Father. And I pray to continually keep it on my mind, continually keep it on our mind, what your dream is for us. And I pray, God, today, if there's someone here who's never accepted your son Jesus as Savior, they would see their need to accept the salvation that you offer. They would see your love today, God. They would come to you and find rest. Rest from chasing a dream that's going to be disappointing. And Lord, for those that have come to you, I pray, God, that there's that desire today that nothing stops them from coming. And Lord, just rededicating their life and being able to say to you, Father, I haven't trusted the way I need to, but I want to come and find rest. I want to know more about you. I pray, God, you reward that by blessing them. And God, for those that just want to come and praise you today, I pray, God, that you would flood your spirit upon them, God, as we celebrate this time that you've let us live a dream and the time going forward. I praise you and thank you for your compassion and for your great desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.